This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. My name is Peter Higgins, and you can find me at Conkers3 on Twitter. And I'm here with Wheelie Pete at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter. Pete's been ever so patient with me today. It's been an absolute nightmare day. Lots to share with you, ladies and gents. Thank you for coming back to see us. I'm trying to hide my chin because I haven't shaved today, so it's a bit of a nightmare for those that are watching me on YouTube. But I will shave for you guys and ladies next time.
But the people on YouTube can see your lovely pile of books.
Absolutely.
Which took about half an hour to build.
Yeah, we're going to talk about, because I had a mad idea a few seconds ago regarding to showcase one of the things that's going on regarding the Twin Peaks Challenge. So here we are, guys, ladies and gents, Twin Peaks Investing Podcast 96. We're actually starting this gone 7 o'clock. Pete's been putting up with me, faffing about technical problems, camera problems, audio problems. We've got them sorted. We're here. I'm going to take a deep breath, get myself a glass of water, take a mouthful, and we're going to crack on with number 96, edging ever closer to the 100. And we're going to talk about the Twin Peaks Investing Challenge today. We're going to talk about the Memphis charity, of course, and what's happened with that. And we're going to talk about the prizes, which we've got, and we've got some other things going on regarding the Twin Peaks Challenge. But we're getting through it, ladies and gents, and we hope that those of you that are already seeing what's behind me can get a clue as to what I'll be talking about a bit later on. We're going to be talking books. We're going to be talking booze, and we're going to talk about something else beginning with B. I'll leave that to your imagination later on. There's a third B. Those of you with a rude disposition, you might be close, but not that close regarding the third B. Right. Some people are using the word B-ollocks, but that's not what I'm talking about either. Don't swear on this program. Try not to anyway. Yeah. So here we are. We're going to crack on straight into this, right? And we're going to start talking about the markets, Pete, right? Because they've been up, down and sideways. We still haven't gone beyond the last high we talked about 2 weeks ago on the last podcast, which, if I recall, was just post 8,014-ish. It was a end of day close that we've had. We've been ummed and ahed. And then yesterday we gave up quite a few points when the Fed was talking. Jerome Powell came out and said, you know what, guys, last time I came out and spoke to you, I was saying to you that we might be slowing down our interest rate sort of process. Guess what he did last night, folks? It came out and said, we might have to accelerate it. This is what happens with economists and people running central banks. I'm not sure what data they're using, how far forward they're looking or how far back they're looking, but it changes on a dime. And yesterday, I think the Dow Jones gave up 400, 500 points or something around that sort of peak.
What a drop.
1.5%.
Yeah.
So back again below sub 32,000, sorry, back below 33,000, which is always a worry for me when it goes below that 33,000 on the Dow. And today, I've not even had a chance to look. But the FTSE, as we stand now, 7:15, FTSE closed at 7.929. Yeah.
Did we say the date today? So it's Wednesday the 8th of March.
Wednesday the 8th, yeah. Finished at 7929. At a high today of 7946, a low of 7891. So we went sub 9,000 briefly. We finished at 7929. If my numbers in front of me are correct, so I'm all over the shop today. FTSE all share 4,327. Just tiny bit of movement today. High was 4,334. Low 4,038. 4,308. And the FTSE All AIM share was down slightly at 854, still below 900, that magic number it needs to move to. High today of 859 and the low of 853. So it's still bobbing about. It's going to be a very decisive month. Peter touched on it before. March just tends to be a bit of a, is it moribund? The posh people use that word.
Yeah.
It doesn't really go anywhere, if it's negative. And then we've got April, when usually the new ISA money comes out and people are reinvesting their ISA straight away. So it'll be a bit of a unsettling month, if not, you know, tepid month.
It's this whole period. It's you know, often the end of February, March, April, May, any of them can be a little bit iffy. And, you know, we're not far away from sell in May and go away. And that's part of the issue. So it's, you know, it's always a febrile time of year. And as you say, when you've got the Fed, I mean, yesterday when Jerome Powell came out and said, you know, we'll probably have to keep rising rates and for longer. And of course, it's backed up by the data. There was some ADP jobs numbers today and they were much stronger than expected. And it's like, you know, the theory is that to get the inflation down, they need to raise rates and pretty much sort of cause a recession or get near to a recession. And the trouble is, at the moment, they're getting nowhere near it. It's like the US market, the US economy seems to be doing rather well. And obviously, we've got the non-farm payrolls coming out this Friday. Slightly strange this month, because normally it's the first Friday of the month, and yet it didn't come out last Friday. I don't know what happened there. But, you know, on the strength of the ADP numbers, it looks like we'll probably get a fairly strong non-farm payroll. So, you know, the last thing we want is all this strong data.
Yeah, because it makes them uncertain about what to do. And as we've seen, a bit of a reaction today regarding it. Last night and then today, we've been a bit lackluster all day today regarding the movement of the market. And yeah,
we got Jerome Powell talking today as well. So there's, you know, plenty of noise around in the markets. And as we speak, which is about, well, it's about 20 past seven on the Wednesday, the 8th of the 3rd. And the US markets had sort of pushed higher, but now they've dropped back again. So, you know, they're very, as you say, they're very sort of febrile and not happy, really.
Chop. I'm just going to read this here, which I've got in front of me. It said here, Fed Chair Powell said interest rates will likely peak at a higher level than previously anticipated due to economic data that came in stronger than recent trends suggested, as Pete just said. He noted that January figures for employment, consumer spending, manufacturing, production and inflation pointed to a partial reversal of earlier softening trends. So if the totality of the data were to indicate that faster tightening is warranted, we would be prepared to increase the pace of rate hikes, he said. And the markets went and dropped 1.5% across the board. So we'll see what happens. They're due to meet. The Fed Open Market Committee is next due to meet on the 21st and the 22nd of March. So again, more flux in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah,
more flux again. So that's where we are, folks. And we're going to see what, you know, the ECB do.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
and the Bank of England do in this month as well. So there's lots to come on. The concern now is, will our bank, you know, Bank of England, follow the example or lead regarding what being said in America? So that's where we are.
Yeah, I mean, I think I said on the last podcast that I was something like 25% short, with a small short on the FTSE 100 and a bigger short, about the same size short on the S&P 500. Last night, I added to my hedges. So I've gone from about 25% short to about 35% hedged. So 35% of my long portfolio, I've effectively hedged. So, you know, I just feel there's a problem that the market sort of try to go higher and then the selling comes back in again. And that keeps happening.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, the FTSE 100 still looks quite sort of bullish in a way. You know, if you were going to categorize it anyway, you'd say it's more bullish. And the DAX especially and the CAC 40 look bullish. But the US markets don't look like that. And it's very unusual that the US markets come off, but our market doesn't. So, you know, so I'm sort of preparing for it, really. I mean, I'm still 65% long, so I still want the markets to go up. But if they do go down, I've got some hedging in place, which will help a bit.
Yeah, I think it goes back to what we've said previously, Pete. We've got quite a significant number of companies in the FTSE 100 and the FTSE 350, which are generating so much of their revenue in dollars. Mm. So depending on what happens with the dollar movements, they're still doing okay. And a lot of their business is in Europe and America. So they're still quite good at passing on whatever sort of additional cost goes into their, you know, their products that they're selling. So we tend to be not reactive as much as we used to be. But the FTSE 250, on the other hand, the FTSE All Share, on the other hand, and the AIM, that's a whole different ball of wax, isn't it? Getting whacked. Pete and I talked about it. We keep talking about it. It seems like we've been talking about it for the last 6 to 9 months. More and more and more profit warnings, Pete. You know, the latest being Calnex getting spanked by I don't know, stupid amount of percentages. And I've got another problem to share with you guys, which has happened to me today. I'll talk about a bit later on. I know some people think I only come on here and talk about my winners, but I tend to talk about the warnings, the profit warnings, and the shares that absolutely get spanked that I hold. I tend to hold them. I don't come back on here and say, oh, you know what? I held that stock. And the minute there's a profit warning, I sold it 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago or 3 months ago or whatever. I still hold my stocks when they hit a warning. I'm usually still holding them. So that's the way it is. I want to break for 1 second here because I should have done this right at the very, very top. So apologies. And this is to all the ladies and all the women out there that listen to this podcast and all the young women that listen to the podcast and all of the guys and the women who have got daughters to inspire them, right? Today is International Women's Day. Right. And I put a tweet out this morning regarding that. And this is how it went. Happy International Women's Day 2023. This celebrates the social, cultural and political achievements of women. The theme is embrace equity. International Women's Day aims for a gender equal world free from bias and discrimination. Let us all work together to achieve this. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, try and be fair, try and be gender equal regarding how you behave towards women. And if you can, and you're a leader of a business, try and address the gender pay gap. If two people doing the same role, pay them exactly the same, male and female, pay them all the same. That's me, end off my box.
Mate,
Happy International Women's Day, everybody.
Yeah, I'll absolutely second that. Happy International Women's Day, not if you're a bloke, but anyway. Right, you totally threw me because you're reading the thing and it said about equity and I'm thinking, yeah, that was it, embrace equity. And I'm thinking, embrace equity? I'm not sure it's a good time to buy shares now, but...
Equal, everything's equal, Pete.
I think I misunderstood what it meant.
Embrace equal.
It's because my brain is in stock market.
You just went straight onto shares, mate. You went equity and money.
Right.
Embrace money, you went.
I'm going to throw you then because I've got one for you that I'm going to throw in now because it's a brilliant moment for it. I just cannot resist sharing this with the listeners because it's the best thing I've heard for months, right? There was a bizarre story on some news program that basically Pablo Escobar, you know, the drug lord in Colombia, whatever, all those years ago. You won't believe it. He had 4 hippos, right? You know, them big things, yeah, from Africa or something. And then he lived by water, yeah? 4 big hippos. And you won't believe it. These hippos, when Escobar went or something, these 4 hippos escaped into the wild. And it must be that Colombia is like an amazing place for cultivating hippos because these 4 have grown to about 150 of the darn things and they've become a real menace because I I heard it somewhere, and I think it's a sort of like well-established urban myth that hippos kill more humans than any other animal, apparently, because I think they can get a bit moody and they're quite big things. And anyway, they're on about shipping 70 of them to India. I mean, how you capture a hippo and send it to India, I've no idea. And why it wants to go to India is baffling. But I just thought that was an amazing story that absolutely needed sharing.
I'm glad you shared that. I was just trying to, I was waiting for the connection with International Women's Day. But it's ladies not, and gents, this is Wheelie Dealer we're talking about. There needs not to be a connection. He just needs to just share his stories.
It's got
welcome to the hippo bit.
No connection with anything, but, you know, everyone wants to know about Escobar's hippos.
When you said he had four, I thought you were going to say he had four wives. And I was like, okay. No, you said hippos. No. I was like, this is not going to end well at
four
all.
Hippos, yeah.
Anyway, some people just here for the bants, Pete, and the banter and the laughter and the jokes and not for anything to do with investing. So for those, there's Pete. There you go. Right, Pete, where do you want to go now?
Well,
where do you want to go?
What I will...
Investing related, mate. Make it investing related, please.
No. What I will say is that, you know, I'm quite cautious about the markets at the moment because it's that time of year. But having said that, I was a bit opportunistic last week and I saw that Telecom Plus had gone down, you know, TEP. I hold it, yeah, in my income portfolio. I saw that it just kept going down. It just kept going down, going down, going down, going down. And their last results were absolutely brilliant. And it got to the point where you're picking up like a forward dividend of 4.8%. Well, I think it was something like 4.3% for the coming year and 4.8% for the following year. So I bought more of them into my normal portfolio in addition to my income portfolio. Then the other one was last week, I mean, it was Friday, Avation, AVAP, came out with results. And it just, I'd sort of had a sense for a while that AVAP was doing a good job of getting back on its feet because it got really spanked by the pandemic, obviously, because it's an airplane leasing company. And the results were pretty good. And they said, you know, you could see the progress was continuing. And I particularly like the massive discount to the NAV. I think the NAV was 248 and the price is around 107 or something. So I bought more AVAP as well. So even though I'm a bit cautious, I was tentatively nibbling, but I didn't buy a lot. I probably only bought like, I don't know, 1.5% in TEP of my portfolio and probably 1% in AVAP. I just kept it small, adding to what I already had. But then on my portfolio, I got hit today on, well, not massively hit. They didn't put out profit warnings as such, but Admiral numbers were pretty soggy. And I think they were down 5 or 6%. That's Admiral ADM. Somero Enterprises, SOM, that do the concrete leveling machines, their results weren't taken particularly well. I think they were down about 3%. Again, just lackluster, really. And add another one. What was the other one? It'll come to me. Hang on. So I had three stocks that, you know, they weren't disasters, but it was just sort of frustrating. And Hotel Chocolate, HOTC.
Hotel Chocolate. Yeah.
You know,
to go back to Som though, Pete. The thing about Som is. And I've said this so many times to you and other people on Twitter, is that it's a cyclical thing, a cyclical company. So once the house builders and the construction companies go on the wane, as soon as you see any house builders going on the wane, you think, I hold Somero, let me take some off the table. Let me take some off the table because that company is going to start drifting now. If they're not building houses, Somero is going to get hit. And that's the way that I would say to just be cautious of it. And then you can buy it back again. You know, sell some at £4, buy it back at £2.50. Do the same. As soon as you see this, if you don't see the house builders waning, run it. Run the stock.
Again, it's a funny one, though, because Somero, I mean, as much as it pretends to be a global company, really, it's something like 90% in the US or 85%. So it's massively US-focused. And their US revenues held up. They're pretty much the same. So, you know, it actually, no, they were down. Yeah, sorry, the US revenues were down a bit, and they'd increased in Europe and they'd increased in Australia particularly. But you know, I don't know, I just get the impression that the US economy isn't on its butt like, you know, the UK economy appears to be, which is back to what we said earlier about the fact that as much as the Fed is trying to engineer a recession, it's not really happening. Yeah, it's a very mixed picture. And I think with Admiral, it's the classic cyclical problem, you know, that insurance is a very cyclical industry. And it is, as we discussed, because we talked about Admiral before on the call. And yeah, it's very cyclical. And it's just that part of the cycle, the insurance cycle, where we're sort of at the bottom end of it. And, you know, hopefully things will improve, because they always do, because the cycle always does improve.
I mean, today one of my holdings came out in the insurance space, and that was let me get my bearings right now. Legal and General, and they came out with brilliant numbers, Pete.
Algen, yeah.
And the market just went meh. Wasn't interested in it at all.
Yeah, it's just in.
And I was like, okay, that's fine. I'll carry on getting me dividends. Let me just pull up the information here, which I saw this morning, and I was like, oh, that's actually quite good, you know. But bearing in mind that the American markets are already on a downer on everything, so I was
Yeah.
like, okay, let me just see how kind the market is. It opened up. I'm not sure where it finished because I was so busy with everything else, but
261.
it's just the markets wasn't happy. So I've got it here. Operating profit up 12%. Profit after tax up 12%, earnings per share plus 12%, return on equity up, currently at 20.7%, Solvency II coverage ratio record of 236, dividend up 5%. Market went not interested, and I was like, fine, I'll carry on getting my 5-6% yield, and if it drops any further, I'll buy some more. You know what I mean? What can I do about that? Nothing. But you talked about not getting hit too hard, Pete. Today, I had my first six-figure financial loss in many, many, many years. Right? And how did that happen?
That's painful, mate.
It was very painful to watch when you know exactly that this is not what it's not warranted. It's not, and it's this is not me being biased as such. It's because what happened was this company. Another company, they've done it before. They did it with Future. They did it, not the same company, did it with Future Group, did it with Burford. If a company's doing well, shorters find something to say about it and they go, we've opened a short on this company and we think this is going to happen. And
Yeah.
what happens? It creates panic and the shares just go, ooh. So the share in question was betwixt third and fourth in my portfolio. So quite a significant chunk, Pete.
Yeah. Oh,
So
mate.
six figures financially got hit today.
Oh, no.
And shorters came out and stated, we've shorted Piedmont Lithium
Oh.
because we found evidence that Atlantic Lithium's mining licenses in Ghana were obtained through what appears to be textbook corruption.
Oh my
Right?
God.
Yeah, exactly, Pete. So
I've
I've
just seen
been doing all my stuff.
Atlantic
Yeah.
Lithium's
Let
down
me let me let
four.
me finish. Let me fit. Let me finish. Let me
Oh
finish.
man,
Right.
I'm
So
stunned.
the shares were
Wow.
getting spanked. Right. And
Wow.
there were one stage. There were sub 20p, but there were essentially 40p this time last week, and today there were sub 20p. So they closed at 41% down. Yeah, at 22 and a quarter. And I was watching this and going, "What the hell's going on?" And I'm reading this, reading that, reading that, and I went into the market and I bought a chunk of shares at over 20 odd pence today. If they unsuspend them tomorrow and they open at 10p, there's me being stupid. But I know the company, I've researched it heavily. I know what's going on here. It's another bear raid. And when they get people to panic and they get that sort of escalation of people selling, the share price usually just goes whoosh all the way down. And tomorrow, next week, whatever, when they refute and address this stuff, maybe the shares will bounce back. Maybe they won't. But you remember the bears were after Darktrace as well, another one of mine recently. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me and shares, and if they're doing well, they look, have a look at what Conquerors got and let's spank it. But hey ho. There's better things, there's more important things. I said to you the last podcast, what's what am I more focused on, Pete? My health, my
Oh, yeah,
family, and all the rest of it.
absolutely.
Does taking a six-figure hit impact me? Of course it does.
That's
Does
annoying.
it make me, does it render me impaled? No. I get up, I'm on the podcast, I'm talking about it. I'm not hiding. I'm not saying I don't hold it anymore. I'm not saying I sold it last month. I'm not saying I sold it last week. I own the stock. It's got hammered. It's cost me six figures. I bought a chunk of it today at 20 odd pence. And if I'm proved to be wrong and it goes to zero and this proves to me, it will be a lesson learned. And that's what investing is about, learning lessons. I've only got to where I've gotten after 30 odd years of making a shed load of mistakes, Pete, and taking
Well,
a
yeah.
shed load of losses and being battered on the chin and knocked out to the point where I'm dazed and confused to get to where I am now, to having learned all those lessons. You don't learn anything from saying I've won everything, I've never had a profit warning, all my stocks always make profit, because we know that this doesn't happen.
It's nonsense,
Doesn't
yeah.
happen, Pete.
Yeah,
There's fund
absolutely.
managers been complaining in October, November, December, and January about the portfolios being down. How can we as investors always be up and never get a profit warning when all these fund managers are having profit warnings and holding stocks that are down 13, 14, 15%? There's institutions in Atlantic Lithium and Piedmont as well.
Oh, they
Yeah,
must be
and they're going to
really
be
feeling
spanked.
it. Yeah,
I know some people that have got several £ million and dollars and Australian dollars in Atlantic Lithium. Can you imagine taking a 40% hit on that
shocking,
when you've
mate.
got a couple of million quid or 10
Shocking.
million quid or 20 million quid, 30 million quid in that company? And then you're looking, going, what the hell's going on it? And just because somebody's written an article and put out spurious stuff out there, the shares just go like that, wallet. Shares are suspended. Let's see what happens tomorrow or Friday or next week regarding it. I got in quickly and took a chunk in. Or more, because I didn't think I'd ever see 20 odd pence again. But if I'm wrong, Pete, I'll have to explain it to my boss. And then my life may not be worth living. I
Yeah.
may have well have health concerns.
Then, mate, it won't be International Women's Day you got to worry about, you know what I
Oh
mean?
my gosh.
Oh,
So
goodness.
yeah.
That,
Yeah,
yeah. That
I'm
was.
still answerable to my boss, mate. But yeah, I got
Yeah.
absolutely chinned today, Peter.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing Podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe. And you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
Mate, on the subject of stocks, that and it, in a way it relates to the Atlantic Lithium thing. I made this note because what tends to happen is that once we've recorded a podcast, obviously it's then 2 weeks until we record the next one. And what I tend to do is once we'd finish with TPI 95 on my sheet,
Yeah.
I then turn over and start TPI 96. And as we go through the 2 weeks, I make some notes, just things I think of or whatever. And one of the things that I've made a note of here, which I did some, a couple of weeks ago, probably, was INL, Inland. And it was really just this point that, you can get a company that appears to be a good, solid, decent company. And I always thought, Inland was a good company and a good stock, and well run, whatever. And then something can hit you out of the blue. I can't remember the details of Inland. I haven't been particularly close to it this time to see what's happened. But I think there's some issues around the management and all sorts of stuff going on. And that's one that absolutely tanked, a couple of weeks ago, on bad news, And it just goes to show how having all your eggs in one basket, just having very small focused portfolios can absolutely kill you. I mean, you look at Inland, it's gone from something like 65 pence 2 years ago, they're now 8.9p. It's become a sort of penny share.
It's one I held, Pete. It's one I held. I bought it at 47 pence, or more than 47 pence, on the 7th of October 2021. Yeah. And I sold in the April 14th, and the contract notes are out there. at just over 40 pence. And what I'd noticed, and I was like, what's going on there? There's always something wrong. When you see a managing director or a senior person in the company is instantly dismissed, right?
Yeah.
Literally, the day before, or a couple of days before, this individual, this managing director, Group MD, sorry, was seen saying, we've opened this motorway, we've executed it, we've completed and executed this motorway, we've completed it. The next day, he's been fired instantly. And I was like, whoa, that doesn't sound good. And I just instantly just took that just over 15, 18% hit.
Yeah.
And just went, I'm out. It was literally, I not only had it for, what, 6 months or so, Pete. Mm. So I sold it at just over 40 pence in April.
Yeah.
And then since then, it was more bad news. They're trying to sell the company, couldn't sell it. They're fire selling the land.
And
our NAV's at 40p or 50p. Why is the share price at 15 pence then?
Mm.
Yeah. They're getting rid of another person. They've got land there and they could still sell it and there's still probably still some value, but they're a fire. They're selling in the midst of a fire, Pete. So there's a fire sale going on. So they're not going to get the optimum price of the land right now. And they've got debts they've got to get rid of. So if they can't clear the debts with the sale, what's left for the shareholders?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean,
so £8. I've not looked, Pete. So £8. But yeah, I just saw that amber warning. I like to look out for little warning flags or tells on companies, and sometimes it can save you. If a senior person gets fired out of a company, it's usually because he or she has done something wrong. Mm. Yeah,
and we'd like to
say thank you to Peter Higgins, our FD, for looking after the business, but we fired him. Don't believe a dot of it. They've only been fired because he or she did something wrong. Instantly dismissed. They haven't gone to another job. They've been instantly dismissed.
Yeah. That's...
Get out of jail quick. Move on.
It's smelly.
There's more things coming down the pipe. But, I mean, Pete, 60p to 8 pence.
It's
just incredible.
It's painful, you know. But this was the story we had all through last year, wasn't it? You know, we were suffering. There were a lot of hits to portfolios. And, I mean, the slight concern and nag I have in the back of my mind is that, you know, we suffered all that pressure during 2022. 2023 started really well, but it sort of feels like we had that sort of boost, but now it feels like things are getting a little bit more turgid again. And if we're going to get, you know, the Fed raising interest rates and whatever, we could find, I mean, the summer is often a pretty tedious period anyway, you know, that, well, sell in May and go away, and it's come back on St. Ledger Day. And if you look at the seasonal trends, summer tends not to be where the money is made. The money's made in winters, and quite often summer is flat at best.
So we
could have a few dull months ahead of us. I think that's quite possible, you know.
I agree with you. I think the thing is, we both said this, Pete, is that the markets were almost getting away with themselves. Everyone had braced themselves in December for it to be dull, horrible start to the markets and things possibly tanking in January and tanking in February. We're all just bracing ourselves and keeping our fingers crossed. And what happened? It did the complete opposite.
Mm.
Everyone's ready to be chinned in January and the market's going, whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
Like, so it was like, what's happened? Has it drank too much of the Christmas whiskey or whatever? And the markets were phenomenal. We hit a new record, mate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Should we not?
Yeah,
and should we have been hitting a new record? Should we have been hitting a new record in January, February? Absolutely not.
But it doesn't stack up, does it?
So if we give some of that back now,
or
between now and the summer, it's what it is. It's part of the reason why we invest, folks, to look for opportunities when the markets are high and we're exuberant and we're thinking, crikey, I lost 15, 20, 25% in 2022. My portfolio is already up 5, 10, 15% in the space of 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Take something off the table, people. Don't be greedy. Yeah? And this is what's happening now. Everyone's getting a bit cautious now. Twitter's gone very quiet last week and a half.
Noticeably,
Hardly any tweets. I'm not sure where anybody's gone.
Yeah.
I know they've not gone on holiday because it's freezing cold out here in the Lake District. It's really freezing. And Rutland's not a place to be walking around in this weather at -1. So You know, I don't know. Maybe they're going to Centre Parks where everything's cooled and conditioned and indoors. You know, maybe.
It must be that. No, it
But
certainly
yeah, I'd be
feels,
cautious with you, mate.
it certainly feels like what we said earlier about, dividends are still very important. And I think we're, it comes on the summit I was gonna throw in here. I read something somewhere about Netflix, yeah. So that's NFLX. Netflix, the
Yeah, of
streaming
course.
service stuff.
Yeah,
Yeah.
streaming. Yeah.
Obviously, you know it. Yeah. So,
And film producers and TV series producers, yeah.
So films and TV series and whatever that they do. What's interesting is that for the last few years, Netflix have been very, as a business, have been very much in growth mode. So it was all about capturing market share, growing revenue, growing fast, just growth basically. And that was done at the cost of profitability and all those sort of good things. And I think that's been very much the attitude of so many tech companies, especially over recent years. And that was all part of the boom we had last year. Now, it's interesting that what is now happening to companies like Netflix is they're moving from this sort of growth, that was the word that was used in the article, growth paradigm. They're now going to a profit paradigm where they're now saying, right, we've had all that growth, we've done well on that. We now need to look at the costs in the business and to rationalize. And the focus now is on profitability and cash and all that good stuff. And it was interesting that Hotel Chocolate, which I hold, that had results today, said exactly the same thing. They said that in recent years they've been very much on a growth track, and they sort of admitted, really, they didn't say it as much, but they sort of admitted they'd taken their eye off the ball, and they'd sort of let some sloppiness come in with how the business was run, and now they're focusing on operational things and making sure costs are controlled, and they're focusing on profit and cash generation, etc. So it's interesting. And the point of this article was sort of saying that sometimes, well, probably most of the time, you've got to go with the style of the market. So in the last few years, the style of the market was very much for growth, and you sort of got to accept it. It was all about growth. Now the style of the market has changed, and we're back to good old-fashioned things like profitability and running a tight ship. And generating cash and having a solid balance sheet and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and this is the cycle, Pete. This is the cycle. If investors are smart and they've got lots of tech in the portfolio, what they should be doing now is looking at the value stocks that pay a dividend, that are going to be able to grind out a little bit of growth, but also pay them between 3 and 5%. And it goes back to what I was saying before. If you can then generate a total return of 7%, 7 to 10%. You can compound your portfolio still, yeah, every 7 or 10 years going forward, rather than trying to knock the wheels off the bus by going too fast and trying to generate 20, 25, 30%. Your portfolio may not do that. And what you've seen as well, Pete, on Twitter, is that there's a number of people that trade, and even they're struggling, even with the volatility that's going in the markets and stocks and indices going up and down like yo-yos. They're struggling. I see
Not easy.
some traders out there that are sending me messages saying, oh, I'm 50% cashed up, I'm 80% cashed up. I'm going, you're a trader, you shouldn't be that cashed up. You're just doing one stock at a time. Some people are, I suppose, but usually they put quite a significant amount of trades on at the same time, but they're not doing that anymore. Because they're worried about the volatility of the markets and where the direction of the markets will go. They go short on the indices, the FTSE 100 or the DAX or NASDAQ or S&P or Dow, and it goes up. Then Powell goes blah, 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 and it goes down, but they're long. So they've got to go short. And the minute they go long again, the markets go up. So it's just going to be volatile, and people are going to need a neck brace over the next year, because we're not sure where the markets are going to go. And on top of that, the question of property prices, which always leads our market, doesn't it?
Oh,
We had this indication, was it end of January? January's data was that house prices were going down. Yeah. February's data coming out now is saying house prices are going up. Everyone I'm speaking to is saying, actually, the prices aren't going anywhere. If anywhere, they're going down. And, the people that I know that put houses up in December, November, still haven't sold a house, Pete. Maybe they've fixed their price and they're not going to budge, but house prices, mate, you've got to be careful of that going on, because as interest rates rise, we know house prices don't keep rising with them, do they? They tend to be impacted and go down.
Going to be difficult, isn't it? And it's confidence as well. People don't go out and buy houses
Confidence,
when they don't
absolutely.
feel confident, you know. Interesting you say about traders, because I think it's a classic catch 22 with the traders. It's like they need volatility, because if there isn't any volatility, they can never make any money. But they don't want too much volatility. And it's almost like
Yes.
we're in that thing where it's just so choppy and so unpredictable. It's funny because last night when I put another short on the S&P 500, I'd considered putting a short on the FTSE 100, and I just thought, no, I don't want to, because I hate the FTSE 100, because it is so difficult to predict. Whereas with the S&P 500, it does tend to behave as regard technical signals and stuff like that. But a FTSE 100 can give you a technical signal one way and you think, oh yeah, this is definitely a short, and it will just completely surprise you and do the opposite. And it
Yeah.
does it all the time. I hate the thing. I just, yeah, keep
It's
away from the FTSE
hard.
100.
Shorting is hard and trading is hard and investing is hard. And I've said this before, some people make investing and trading look so easy, and it's not. And that's why I put my contract notes out. That's why I talk about the losing stocks, the profit warnings, all the profit warnings, all the things that go wrong. And I put it all on my tweets and share the good, the bad, and the indifferent, because there are new people out there, folks. There are new people that are new to Twitter, that are new to investing, only been investing 1 year, maybe 3 years. They're new. They don't know as much as you do. And if you're sharing honestly what's going on with your portfolio, they'll be able to learn from you. They're not necessarily going to copy what you're doing, but they'll learn from the reality of what's happening to your portfolio. But if you're only ever winning, and you've only ever sold stuff when it's had a profit warning, or if you only just bought it when it's had a takeover, they're not going to learn anything from you. This is what we're trying to do with this podcast, is trying to give people some material for them to go away. Pete knows not enough that he'll never know enough, right? I will never know enough, right? There's fund managers that will never know enough, because every day is a school day. Every day something happens to the market
Oh.
where Pete goes, oh my gosh.
Oh,
I
Tom.
go, oh my gosh. And today's a prime example. Getting hit 41%. I'm like, didn't see that coming.
Well, I didn't
Nothing,
see that.
no amount of research, under 20 hours of research, ever said to me, one day, Pete, someone's going to come and just go bosh and claim that the company is corrupt and it'll go 40% down. No preparation for that. It's not going to find that in a chart either, Pete, are you? No
No, I
chart's going to
mean,
tell you that, is it, mate?
no,
No candle's going to tell you that.
The only thing you can do with that situation is just have more stocks in your portfolio and don't be too concentrated.
Diversified.
The
Yeah.
people who are
However,
holding three or four with
would have
that
been
have
nailed.
been
If that's all they had
nailed.
in their portfolio, or
Yeah.
all they've got in their portfolio, they've absolutely been
And
creamed today.
it's
Sorry,
also,
I was
yeah,
going to
go
say,
on.
Pete, the very important point you made there is that the diversification is important when you get smashed on one stock. The thing is, for me, it was quite a large weighting of the stock, and
Yeah.
that's why I was like, but for the CFO, the former CFO, the chair, yeah, they've got all their money in one or two entities. Yeah,
Oh, must be horrible. Yeah.
that's your portfolio. Your portfolio is made up of two stocks,
Yeah,
and the rest is your salary.
and you work for it as well. Yeah.
And
Oh.
you've worked for it. You've started this company from zero to being worth £500,000, or sorry, £500 million, or £300 million, or that 10% of that stake you've got in that company. That's your money. And then somebody's just come along and penned something to say, we think Dark Force is corrupt. We think Future is corrupt. We think there's some shenanigans going on here with their accounting. That's all they've got to say. And the share price just gets absolutely creamed.
Yeah,
And
totally.
it's easy. Just write something official, and it could be any stock. It could be bloody AstraZeneca tomorrow. It could be GSK.
You know,
that's
heaven the
forbid
trouble
they
with
come
it.
out. Heaven forbid, can you manage the carnage on Twitter if somebody came out and wrote a short report for Games Workshop?
Oh.
Can you imagine the carnage? All the fund managers that have got that stock, all the investors that have got that stock.
It would be
You'll never
messy.
see some people on Twitter again
It would be
if it fell
messy.
40% overnight. Anyway, on cheerier note, Pete, let me just share some really, really good news here. Yeah. We've
Excellent.
already shared the lovely stuff about being International Women's Day.
Yeah.
We've
And
got some
hippos.
other people.
We did
No,
hippos as
we're going to
well,
do
mate.
the Memphis link now.
Absolutely.
So those of you that have already made a donation, thank you ever so much. And we've actually had one of our prominent leaders of the podcast made a massive donation. I'm not sure if anyone knows who the person is, but he goes by the handle of Weedy Dealer. Yes, the chap in and on the screen with me has finally done the right thing. He's boshed in 100 quid. Thank you, Pete. Kisses, hugs.
I've made a
And
comment as well.
he's not, this is no bias, by the way, right? What a brilliant podcast. And top marks for supporting the Memphis charity. I listen to the podcast every week and love it. That's not actually true. So I know you don't, because you can't bear your own
No,
voice.
I listen to it when we record it. That's my whole
When
point.
you record it.
I've
Oh, all
never
right.
missed one, but I've missed one. I missed one. I missed one. I did.
Though I may be a bit biased, WD. Mate, thank you ever so much for that.
No
Thank you very much. And we had
worries.
one person go by the handle of the Monster of Panama.
Oh.
And the Monster of Panama donated £10 and £2.50 gift aid. And the Monster of Panama wrote, "Keep up the good work." We will, lady, gent, we will. We'll carry
Absolutely.
on. And if any of you, ladies and gents, have enjoyed any of these podcasts, please, please, please make a donation of a fiver or a tenner. Just find a Just Giving page, Twin Peaks Challenge 2023, and you'll find us there. And I'm usually putting a tweet out on just regarding the Just Giving page. If you guys can help, ladies and gents can help us get to 1,000. That's our next benchmark to hit. Be lovely to hit that between now and the next 2 weeks when we do podcast number 97. Our total at the moment is 887. So we just need £113 from the 2,500 of you that listen every week. Even one of you can donate a pound. If each donate a pound, that'd be £2,000 next podcast. Whoop, whoop, whoop. And that will take us
Fantastic.
to nearer to 3,000. So yeah, please make a donation if you can. The young people, disabled young people, would really, really appreciate it. And you can find that on the Just Giving page. Just type in the search, Twin Peaks Challenge 2023 for Memphis. Okay. Thank you very much.
When I did the search on the Just Giving thing last night, it kept coming up with Just Giving. Sorry, it kept coming up the Twin Peaks Challenge 2022. You don't want the 2022 one. It's got to be the 2023 one. I actually went to Peter's website, which is www.conkersfree.com, I think, and I found the link there. So Pete will put out, well, we'll both put out more links on
We'll put out
Twitter
another
and
link.
stuff to the correct one. But just be careful when you go to do your donation, you've got the right one.
Yeah, absolutely. Just Twin Peaks Challenge 2023, and you'll
Yeah.
find it there. Right, Pete, what do you want to do now? Should we get on to the competition?
I think we ought to, mate. Yeah,
Right. I
absolutely.
think what we'll do, Pete, is we'll just name the winner of the month of February. Yeah. The percentage that they've got
Yeah.
and the stocks. Right. But before that, I'm going to talk about the prizes for the month, Pete. Let's just
Yeah.
build it up. Let's
Yeah.
build up some anticipation. Right. I want to say to folks, right, that I have been working absolutely tirelessly to get some sponsors so that you participants can get some prizes for participating in this. And we've done absolutely phenomenally well. Pete's been working like an absolute Trojan to get the actual spreadsheet, Excel sheet up to scratch so we can actually identify the percentages and the portfolio values of the individuals on this. So it's a massive, massive, massive team effort. And we still got a fair bit of work to do, ladies and gents. But we are getting there. And we've got our first monthly winner, and we'll talk about the next winner after that. So who we got as sponsors? right? We've already told you that our sponsor for the Twin Peaks podcast is ShareScope, ShearPad. That's who sponsors this podcast. And they've stepped up and they've sponsored this competition. And what they're going to do is that they're going to give a monthly prize of a 1 month subscription to ShareScope, ShearPad, not ShareScope, ShearPad Pro. And if you've already got a membership to ShearPad, ShareScope, ShearPad, they will give you the equivalent credit of 1 month or the cost into your account. There's T's and C's on all of this, people. So I'm not going to do this verbatim. That's what they're going to do. And then for the overall winner, they're going to give a 12-month subscription to ShareScope, ShearPad. And for the runner-up overall, they're going to do a 6-month subscription for people to try that out. So that's our sponsor there at ShareScope helping us out. And you can find out all about them at www.sharescope.co.uk. Now, for those of you that are not listening to this on YouTube, you might want to switch over now. Those of you that are already on YouTube can see, have got these books to my right. Yeah. And some of these books are Harriman House books. I'm a collector of books. I have to bring them into the house undercover, covertly. 5 years ago, I got banned from buying any other books. Right? I've got a very good friend who decided to give up X amount of books as well recently. And they happen to be finance books. And guess who went, I'll have those books as well.
I'll have them.
And brought them into the house.
Excellent.
These are my books here, right? I've got another, couple of hundred more somewhere else and scattered around the houses. Anyway. So Harriman House are one of our sponsors. Lovely people at Harriman House, right? I've come along and they've agreed to share some of their library with us. So who are Harriman House? Harriman House.
Thank you, Harriman House.
Thank you very much, Harriman House. Harriman House, the leading independent publisher of books on money, and are sponsoring the Investing Matters Twin Peaks Challenge. Each month, the winner can select a free book from the list of 15 books, which I'll tell you all about later on. The overall winner will be chosen at the end of the year, the 29th, up to the 12th, the 29th of December, and the runner-up will be able to choose 5 of 15 books. The overall winner will get 15 whole books to choose from.
Wow.
From the selection of 15. So they'll get all the 15, basically.
That's good.
I'm going to run through this list because it's a very impressive list of books that they've given me.
Cool.
Hopefully I've got all the list in front of me. Hopefully I haven't missed any of them out. This is the absolutely fantastic Harriman House. And I tend to buy most of my books from them, as people have seen in the books that I've shared, which I've bought in the past. Okie dokie. So we've got The Smart Money Method by Steve Clapham, one of the individuals that I've recently interviewed. And you might be able to see that in the stack there. The Skeptical Investor by the brilliant John Stepek, which you might be able to see in the stack there. How to Pick Quality Shares by Phil Hoakley, which you can see in the stack there.
Excellent.
The Retreat of Globalization. I don't think I put it in there. That's Gervais by Gervais Williams, another chap I've interviewed. There's a brand new book coming out from Harriman House called Investing Rules. That's been edited by Chris Parker. That's one of the books you can choose from. Dear Shareholder, edited by Lawrence Cunningham. It's one of the books you can choose from. Investing in the Best, which I think I've got upstairs, by Keith Ashworth-Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Botology Fund Manager.
Good.
The Equity Edge by Mark Jevons is one of the books. The Investment Trust Handbook by Jonathan Davis. I think I've got that somewhere. The ESG Investing Handbook, edited by Rebecca O'Connor. I'm not sure I've got that one yet, so you might need to invest in that.
You might have to win a month so you can get that book.
We're not allowed to win, but we'll get onto that in a minute, Pete.
Yeah,
the Intelligent
will.
Fund Investor
will.
By Jill Wiggins. Just Keep Buying by Nick Magouli. I think I pronounced that wrong, but bear with me. Somebody will correct me on that one. Magouliali, maybe. The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel, which is an absolutely bestseller around the world at the moment.
Yeah, I got that over
so
there.
Many different languages.
Yeah.
Is that on my stack? Is it on my stack?
It's on my stack over there, mate. Over there in
You've
front
got your
of
stat.
me.
Well, good for
Yeah.
you. I think I've missed putting it on my stat.
You know,
Invest.
people who follow me on Twitter and that will know. I had to go into A&E last weekend, and I actually took that book with me because I thought I'd have loads of opportunity to read it. And of course, in the event, I didn't really read much of it at all. But there you go.
Hey, it's a book on psychology, and you always tell me you don't mess about, you're not interested in psychology. So it's good that you're taking up your first psychology book, mate. Absolutely spot on. And you've chosen one of the best ones there is to actually start with. So kudos to you,
Nine.
mate. Yeah. Investing for Growth by Terry Smith.
Oh, cool.
Invest Your Way to Financial Freedom by Robin Powell and Ben Carlson. Yeah. So that's the 15 books, folks. I think I've
Oh,
covered them all
brilliant.
there. I hopefully got all 15 there. And I'm going to list them all out and put them in a thread going forward
Excellent.
regarding the books. I've not finished yet, folks. There's more prizes. There's more prizes coming. And from the other sponsor that not we've not I've not finished with yet, there's something coming from that. So we have the wonderful, wonderful people at Powder Monkey Brewery, www.powdermonkeybrewery.com,
Brilliant.
based in Gosport. They helped me out when I did the fundraise with the Memphis back in 2021,
Yeah.
Memphis charity. And Mike McGeever, lovely chap I spoke with, and he decided to help me out on this. So, who are Powder Monkey Brewery? What's their tagline? Tagline is craft brewery on naval soil. Powder Monkey Brewery is an award, sorry, Powder Monkey Brewery is an award housed brewery in a historical gunpowder store close to the water in Gosport, Hampshire. Brewery produces a wide range of craft beers using the state-of-art equipment and packages everything in-house to ensure quality. Everyone that listens to this podcast can use a discount code called Twin Peets, TWINPETS. They can go
Excellent.
to the website, which is www.powdermonkeybrewing.com. Brewing.com, and they get a 5% discount off anything they buy. Yeah,
Lovely.
brilliant.
Excellent.
There's
Yeah.
more, Pete. There's more. The winner of the whole competition, right, gets to go down to Gosport. They get a day at the brewery. They get fed. They get watered, get to taste the ales. They get to
Water.
design their own beer and
Wow.
produce 200 cans of beer.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Can designed by you, the winner, a day with your friends in Gosport by the sea, drinking, tasting, designing your own beer. And when the beer's done and all finished and the can's all sorted out, that person gets to take away or gets delivered 200 cans of beer.
Fantastic.
Wow.
That's a fantastic prize. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Awesome.
I'm working on this, folks. I'm trying to make it as interesting as possible. I'm trying to get you guys and ladies to sort, to interact with us and share with us and talk to us, retweet, share, and I'm trying to deliver and pay it back and pay it forward to you guys. Hopefully, ladies and gents, I'm going to seal this fourth sponsor within the next few days, and by the time we get to the next podcast, we will then be talking about the fourth sponsor and depending on what they deliver. So go and visit ShareScope at www.shareScope.com. Go and visit Harriman House at www.harriman-house.com. And go and visit www.powdermonkeybrewing.com. And if you're at the brewing site, make a purchase. Get yourself 5% off.
Yeah,
Yeah?
absolutely. Use the Twin Peaks
Get
discount
yourself
code.
some beers.
Brilliant.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer via SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code Twin Peaks. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe to SharePad today using the Twin Peaks promo code and you can save up to £69. Visit sharescope.co.uk/sharepad for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
All right. That's where we are, Pete. Drum roll. You ready to tell the winner of the first month? Go.
Well, okay. The winner is for the month of February. Ready? It is Raj at RamRaj35Hotmail.
Whoop, 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 whoop. RamRaj. I'm not sure what's going on here because this chap is from Leicestershire. It's not a fix. He picked the stocks himself.
It's so funny.
You know, so
it's so funny. There you go.
I might try my level best. This is the other thing I'm going to throw in the mix as well, Pete. I'm going to try my best, depending on the time frames between when we work out who's won percentage-wise and all the rest of it. Some of the logistic problems we had with sorting it out. So this is why it's a bit late. But what I'm going to try and do as well, if the person's up for it, the person that wins the month's prize, I'm going to try and get them on the show very briefly, just talk about their picks, which, you know, and a little bit about them. Look at a little mini interview, because I know some people don't like to be on camera and a bit shy.
That's good. We'll
see if we can get in touch. So if you win the month and we call your name out and you hear it on the podcast, yeah, I'll be firing you a little DM if we can see your name on Twitter, or trying to just reach out to you via your Twitter handle to get in touch with us regarding the prize. So we'll see what goes on with regards to that. And we might have some more stuff going on regarding the monthly prizes going forward. So what's Raj won? Is what a choice of one of the 15 books.
Brilliant.
Is won 1 month's access to ShareScope, SharePad going forward. And then maybe some other bits and pieces I'll try and navigate. And if I do navigate it later in the year, I try and backdate it to whichever winners we've got. So if we get some merchandise from some people or caps and hats and T-shirts, the person that's won for February or March or whatever, and we get it, will also get that. That's what I'm trying to work on, folks. So just bear with me. Okay. So what did Raj pick? What stocks did he pick, Pete?
The stocks that Raj had, I'll do them all in order because obviously it's 5 stocks. I'll do them in order of which ones contributed the most. So his portfolio overall was up 11.3% for the month.
That's credible. That's good.
Just to give you a sense, the person who came second was up 10% for the month. The person who came third was up 9% for the month. So there was 3 strong performances there. And the 2 guys who were second and third only just missed out a bit. And just...
Can I interrupt you here, Pete, for 1 second? The real winner was who?
This is ridiculous.
You don't get a prize. This is so wrong, but we have to stick by the rules, mate. What percentage was yours, Pete?
The real winner was me, which is absolutely ridiculous. And it's just one of those weird...
What percentage did you have, by the way?
Well, Raj was up 11.3. Mine was up 11.8. So,
oh my gosh, 0.5%. Oh, mate. Well done. Great start.
Anyway,
great start. But you know what, Pete? This is the beauty of it. You're being the hare.
Yeah.
The others are the greyhounds trying to catch you. So you're encouraging them to actually...
Well done. When I picked my 5 stocks, I didn't even know we were having a competition. Maybe that's why... Maybe that was the advantage. If I'd have known, I'd have really screwed up.
Picked something completely different. Exactly.
Would have picked 5.
So well done, Raj. And well done the individuals that came second and third with those. That's a very high percentage for February. Very well done.
Right. So Raj, his biggest contributor was Nvidia, NVDA, which I believe is like a chip maker, chip designer.
It is a chip maker
in America.
Yeah.
And they've done really well from the AI stuff. So he's paid a blinder.
Yeah.
That was up 18.8%. So that contributed a lot, that one. But he also had 2 other big contributors. Because he had CAPE, K-A-P-E, which is up 17.6%. That's the cyber security one that actually had some takeover interest or whatever, didn't it?
Apparently in ongoing takeover stuff. And we'll talk about the takeover bit that we're going to need to put we need to talk about the takeovers, what happens with that those later on, Pete. Yeah. So carry on. So Cape's taken over. Was, yeah, being taken over.
That was one where Teddy Sagi got involved, whatever. Then
I hold that. Yeah.
The next one that was up well for him was Totally, TLY, which was up 16.2%. I believe that's like sort of care home type stuff. Yeah. Have you got that?
Yeah. So it works with the NHS and software and all the rest of it.
Right.
Basically, Pete, that was up that amount of percentages, right? For February. The 1st of March, wallop, it got smashed.
No
right?
way.
So if you look at a chart for Totally, the end of February, slash the 1st of March to now, it's already down 20% or more than that. It's given up all of its gains year to date. So had the competition been for the month of March, Raj would not have won.
Wow, yeah. So at the end of February 27th, it was about 29 pence. It's now down to 18p. Wow.
So he just crept in there on the last trading day of the month and it still held up for him. After that, wallop.
Wow.
So this is the beauty of the month thing, you see. So we start from scratch again for March. Raj could already be out of the running. All the people that had Atlantic Lithium with me could be completely out of the running for March.
Yes, yeah, a lot of people have chosen Atlantic Lithium.
A lot of people chose Atlantic Lithium, yeah.
Yeah.
So go on. So what else have we got? So Totally, absolutely just sealed it for him as well.
Yeah, so Totally was up 16.2% for him. So basically, his 11.3% on his overall portfolio had a big contribution from NVIDIA up 18.8, Cape up 17.6, Totally up 16.2. Then interestingly, the other two, neither of them were negative, which is good. Leo, L-I-O, which is that Lion Trust?
Lion Trust.
So that's like fund
wealth management.
Fund manager group. That was up 3.1%, so a much more subdued one.
Yeah, but not negative, which is what important.
No, not at all. And I guess that really helps, because when you get a negative, it really drags it down. Then India, his last one was IGC, which is something like India Growth Stock of some sort. It's like an investment.
India Capital Growth Fund. Yeah, India Capital Growth Fund.
Yeah, and that was up just 0.8%, but again, a positive performance.
So five positives, mate.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Positives. And it's interesting, when I look at the person who came second and look at the person who come third, both of those had a negative in their results. And I bet you, particularly the one who came second, he was down 6.9 on one of his holdings. If he hadn't been down on that one, he probably would have won it.
Yeah, this is the beauty of dive again, even with the five, having a little bit of having some racy ones and having some that just hold their ground, you know.
Interesting. The one who came third, he only had a slight negative. One of his was down 1.4%, but his others were all up around 9% or whatever, so he didn't get the overall win.
Overall, you needed some of those like 15, 16, 17, and 18.
Yeah.
So huge congratulations to Raj. Congratulations to those that came second and third, and everyone else that's in the competition. The month of March starts again, folks. It's already started, and you could win the month of March going forward, and you could still win the competition overall, regardless of not being in the top three.
Mate, I've got the names for the second and third. Let's go for it.
Go for it. Go for
it. Second was Stuart Dolby at Stuart_Dolby. So well done, Stuart. You nearly got it.
Congratulations, Stuart.
Yeah. And the one in third place, I'm not sure who this is. He's at Constant_CAGR. So I'm not sure what his or her name is.
At Constant_CAGR. Cool.
And, like I said, it was Raj had 11.3%. Stuart was on 10%. And Constant CAGR was on 9%.
That is close, mate.
It is so close. It was close.
We like a close race. That's really good.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
Interesting to see how that all came out.
Yeah, and we're going to refine it as we're going forward, and I'm going to try and sort something out so you guys can see, ladies and gents, see the actual portfolios somewhere on a page somewhere going forward. We've been jostling around with this for ages, which is why I'm always running late for stuff and late for this particular podcast as well. And we'll sort something out. But I'm hoping to get another sponsor for this going forward, and we'll see what happens. And again, in the month of for March, Pete, one of my holdings you've already mentioned is I don't own it, but in the competition is Admiral, which didn't do so well today either.
Yeah,
You
I
know,
bought that. Yeah.
so that was one of the ones I thought, ooh, it'd be nice and steady going forward. But it
But
is what it is.
over a year, mate, you know,
It's
you
over a
may,
year, mate.
yeah,
Absolutely.
you may not win in,
Absolutely.
you may not win in February, but you
Yep.
might be picking up the October trophy.
Absolutely. I think if I exclude the spanking that I'm getting with Atlantic Lithium, you know they say that profit warnings come in threes, Pete.
Oh
I got
yeah.
spanked again by Spirent, didn't I?
Oh,
Yeah,
mate.
it went down. I was like, come on, mate, you've already warned. You know, and the results were showing profitability, and it still got spanked. And I'm like, oh, you know.
It just feels like a real minefield out there at the moment. It almost feels like we're walking through a minefield, and if you just tread slightly the wrong way, bang, you get blown up. And it really feels that. And
Absolutely. Yeah.
there does seem to be a lot of luck in it at the moment. You know, it's that kind of difficult market. And I think it's one of those where companies know that if they come out of a profit warning now, in a way, it might be received a bit better than if they'd done it in a good time. You know what I mean? It's almost like
Yeah.
expectation. You know, when you look at like Admiral today, I mean, really, those Admiral results weren't particularly great. And yet, when you actually look at how it did, so it was down 4%. So, you know, it comes out with really bad news, but it's only down 4%. So
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
expectations are so low now that
yeah.
it's almost like, to get spanked 20, 30%, you got to really disappoint.
You've got to really disappoint, exactly. I mean, I picked up when I had a bit of time this morning, I saw some news come out, and I looked at what was going on, and I looked at one, and I'm thinking, what, the market's completely ignoring this. What's going on? And I thought, okay, the market doesn't like this news, or it's just not interested in this news, or the market's worried about what's happened in America overnight. And I just went into the market, Pete, stealthily, and just went, I'll have some of that, thank you very much. Yeah, not going to say nothing to no one. I don't need to talk about my shares, Pete. So let's let them just crack on and do their own thing. Don't need to encourage my followers to buy it. Just let it do its own thing. And when I'm ready, I'll share it with people when I'm good and ready. And the market was just like that today. We're not interested in what that company's got to say. And I was like, fine, thank you. I like it. Let's see what happens. Hopefully no one comes and, call say that it's corrupt and spanks it by 40%. But, whenever the markets ignore stuff, I'm trying to look at little things in the market all the time, Pete, and think, okay, if my research is right, I've done all the research before, and this does that, and that happens, I'm in the market. I've got a watch list as long as my arm. And that came out today, and I went, I'll have some of that. Market didn't like the news, didn't like the markets, whatever. Anyway, Pete, let me share something with you.
Yeah, go on.
Done an interview for the Investing Matters podcast, which I highly
Oh.
recommend everyone to go and check out. This particular one, right, is with the co-founder of Primary Bid. Now, almost 10% of you that listen to this podcast have dealt with or been involved in a placing in the last year or so, a capital fundraise, capital markets raise, whatever you want to call it, or even an IPO. Primary Bid have probably been involved in some way or some form in those particular raisings over the past year and a half and longer. And the co-founder is a chap called James Deal. He's actually an ex-analyst, ex-investment banker, worked in the city 20 odd years, is an absolute sharp, sharp, sharp brain.
Cool.
And he spoke to me about all the nuances of Primary Bid, how it's working, how it's growing, getting involved and growing in Europe, the market they want to absolutely, grow exponentially in is the UK and also the US. So if you've got chance and you've been involved in anything to do with Primary Bid, please go and have a listen to that podcast, because it's absolutely is on point. I think the beauty of it is that before, Pete, you'd have a week or a month to, there's a placing going on, we're going to suspend the shares. You're a retail investor. You can't be involved.
Oh, yeah.
It's institutions only.
Yeah.
The words that you're using is democratizing retail investing.
Yeah.
So they're making sure when they can and the companies allow them to, there's a portion of the fundraise, a portion of the placing, a portion of the IPO is open to us, the retail investor, the little person, the small person, not just institutions that are getting access to the IPO. Because some IPOs do well. They come out and they go off the blocks. And if you've been able to access pre-IPO, almost the same price as everybody else, you're not paying the premium after the institutions have got in. So that's it. If anyone's used PrimaryBid, go and check out that particular interview.
Well, even if you haven't used it, it still might be quite worth watching and listening. And to
even if they haven't used it, very, very good point.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And you say that's
absolutely good point.
Investing Matters is the podcast.
Yeah, so at... So the ticker symbol, sorry, ticker symbol. The Twitter handle is at INVMATTPODcast, in Matt Podcast. Or just type in Investing Matters on Twitter and you'll find it there. Or you can find it at the London Southeast on their channels, on YouTube, on London Southeast, on LinkedIn as well. We're pushing it on LinkedIn as well. I've got a very, very interesting interview coming up from a lady in Australia. Give a little clue there. So my first Australian interview, sorry, it'll be the second one, but the other one's going out a bit later on. So a lady from Australia who's an absolute sharp brain. I keep saying the best investors are females. So, you know, this particular person is very, very sharp, very, very bright, and fantastic interview. So that'll be the one going out in a week and a bit on Wednesday. So look out for that one. Pete, any stocks you got, mate, you want to share?
Well, I'll throw in a couple that have been kicking around. One that, again, it's a company that I'm sure I've mentioned on the podcast probably a couple of years ago. I don't hold it or anything, but it's one that I think could be interesting, and that's this Labs, LABS. So it invests, it's a REIT, REIT. You hold it. You hold it.
Yeah.
No way. Yeah. Oh, my God. How do I manage it?
It's been months since you've done this to me, Pete.
That is
I didn't want to share that yet.
Oh, man.
I'm building a REIT infrastructure / IT investment company's portfolio.
I remember you saying, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's,
and I'm not ready to bloody share that one.
It's Life Science REIT is the name of it, Labs. And what it does, I know what it does.
Don't tell anybody else about it.
Yeah. It only listed a couple of years ago. And so, you know, so it's a fairly new listing. But what it does is it buys property that is, you know, laboratories and stuff, which obviously with the growth in healthcare and the sort of improvements in cancer and vaccines and all the rest of it, all these big things that are happening in the medicine sector, then obviously they need buildings. And apparently these buildings are actually quite scarce. You know, there is demand for these buildings. So, but anyway, what stood out to me about it was that it's 2 years out. I'm not sure what it is next year, but 2 years out, the forecast dividend's around 6%. So it could be a really nice tuck it away, boring income portfolio where hopefully you're going to be picking up a very good dividend. And hopefully you'll get some capital upside as well. So you might be seeing 8%, 9%, 10% a year kind of growth is possible. So, yeah, it's an interesting one.
That is exactly my plan, Pete.
Cool.
But thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. You're very pleased with yourself now, aren't you?
It's just so funny.
Oh,
and
my
do you know
gosh.
What? I've got a list of five different stocks that I could mention. And I went and picked that one. Typical.
Yeah, so it's trading at a discount to NAV at the moment. This is what I like. It's going to pay a dividend, and a bit like the warehouse boxes, they've got the property. They're all around, Cambridge and other places. There's a
Cambridge,
massive,
London.
Massive shortage
yeah.
of lab spaces. Yeah. So that's what they're trying to build on. Obviously, that's not obvious. They're listed at £1. Share price has come off a little bit. As they buy and build, But yeah, 2 or 3 years out, the share price goes back to NAV. The dividend carries on being paid. You get the capital gains and you get the dividend. So, first mover advantage in that space, and there's a massive shortage. So it's IPO'd, let me get my bearings right, I'm going to say 2016, but I could be out. My brain's not with it right now.
I think a couple of years.
It's been a couple of years. They've raised 350 million, and they're building out the space. It's a fantastic REIT, Pete, and it's meant to be slow, steady. I'm not trying to not, you know, it's meant to be one of them that just slowly and steady just makes you a little bit of money. So that's been my plan with regards to it. I'm happy with having it. And I wasn't going to talk about it for a little while, but people can go and have a look at it themselves and research it. It's not a recommendation because Pete and I don't tip and recommend anything here or ramp any stocks. That's one of mine. I already hold it. I will disclose that now with contract notes on Friday when this goes out.
That's funny. Yeah,
that's part of my little portfolio.
Sorry,
it's building. Got a few more in there, Pete. So don't go talking about my.
You want me
stuff
to guess another one because I reckon.
No. I do want you to guess another one from that sector. Thank you very much.
If I guess this one, when you put out a contract note for labs, you can put out a contract note for this one as well. I reckon you might have it.
You're desperate to say it, aren't you?
Well,
go on, bring it on.
Do you want it?
I lost six figures today, mate. I can lose another little share.
You ready?
Share it with other people. Go on,
mate. One that I think is quite interesting is Derwent London, DWT. No way.
No, I don't have it. I don't have it. You'll never get two on the bounce. I don't have Derwent.
Oh, shit. I thought I got it then.
I don't have Derwent. To be fair, Pete, I have looked at them. I think they're a rock solid company. They're very good quality. And the other thing they're not on the watch list, but the management and the consistency of the management over the years, they've navigated everything. And again, it's a cyclical company regarding the niche that they're in, but they've got such good quality management, and they're not the sort of company as well that go out of their way to damage, you know, they're not going to take advantage of shareholders. They're trying to do things at the right time regarding the monies. When things are going well, they share it with the shareholders. When not going so well, they take the heat as well themselves. So very, very good company, mate.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I've always been told by people who invest in sort of commercial property and stuff, just how premium and quality a lot of the property in central London is. And obviously Derwent London owns a lot of that kind of property, and they have a good mix of things because some of it is I'm trying to find it on SharePad and I'm failing miserably. I don't know why I can see it down there, I think. Hang on. So when you can buy London property, quality London property stocks at good prices, it's DLN is the code, by the way. London DLN. When you can buy that kind of stuff at good prices and that, you know, it's attractive. And Derwent London on SharePad is shown with a forecast dividend of 3.3%, rising to 3.5%. Mm-hmm. Not sure of the discount to NAV at the moment. There's nothing showing on SharePad. You'll have to check on the numbers. But, you know, you're picking up a pretty reasonable dividend there. What did I say? 3.5% or something 2 years out. Yeah, so it's a pretty sort of okay dividend, and you're getting very much top end quality London property. And they got a mix of stuff. They got retail, they got offices, they got all sorts of property stuff. But it's real prime top quality. You know, when you're playing Monopoly, yeah, you're on a Monopoly board, it's the real top end stuff. And I think, you know, they had good results the other day that were, you know, ahead of expectations, very positive. So, yeah, I think that could be a good one. Again, as a sort of boring tuck away, it's not going to, I mean, it's not going to do an Atlantic Lithium on you and kill you one day, you know. It's going to be a steady eddy.
You just
whatever.
Had to do that. You just had to go there.
You know, the thing is with something like an Atlantic Lithium is it can go up 40% in a day. You know, that's the difference. And something like Derwent London, it's never going to be exciting for you. But it's in a way, it's a bit like Labs. It's a nice steady eddy that will fit nicely in a sort of, and being in these, you know, the markets like they are at the moment, where it's much more about dividends, it's much more about value, it's much more about solid companies, things like Derwent London could be well placed.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right, Pete, we've done an hour plus at least. Yeah. So I think we should call it there. I think people that want to go away and research Derwent should. I agree, it's a wonderful company. I just want to give a last shout out to all of our listeners. Thank you ever so much again for supporting us with the Twin Peaks Challenge. Please visit us on the Twin Peaks Challenge Just Giving page and make a donation. A big, big, big thank you to all of you that have gone across and subscribed for free on our YouTube channel. We are over 800. Thank you ever so much. I think we're on 810 last I looked. So the next goal is 900. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're still listening to Spotify and Google and Amazon and all the other channels that are out there, SoundCloud and all the rest of them, please, please, please just pay us a visit over on YouTube and just hit the subscribe button on YouTube, because I know you use YouTube for other things. So please pay us a visit. And you can have a look at these wonderful books. You can't see these wonderful books that I've created, this stack that Pete says like the Leaning Tower of Pisa and is going to fall over. These wonderful books, will they be here next week? It depends if I'm allowed. If my boss catches me, I might have to go and take them somewhere else to store.
Health and safety, mate.
Health and safety. But yeah, collapse. We've got some wonderful books. So a big shout out again for our sponsors for the competitions, which are ShareScope, SharePad, www.sharescope.co.uk, Harriman House, www.harriman-house.com, and Powder Monkey Brewery, www.powdermonkeybrewing.com. Pay those website a visit. Have a look at them. If you do go to the brewing site, you can just type in Twin Peaks and you can get a 5% discount off that. And I want to talk to them about some other things that we may be able to get. But until 2 weeks' time, which will hopefully be the 22nd if we get ourselves organised, of March, that's it, folks. Take care, stay safe, stay healthy, show some love, show some kindness to others on Twitter, and we keep going. You know, we're going to make this competition a really, really exciting one for you. We're going to get some more prizes. Big congratulations to Raj. He's going to be absolutely beside himself. And we'll see if we can get Raj on here at some point. And if you win March, I will be hopefully getting in touch with you, or Pete will be getting in touch with you, try and get you on the show to talk about your portfolio and your investing style and strategies. But once again, folks, from Pete and me, thank you ever so much for supporting us. We're still here. We're heading towards, I think, Pete, where are we now? 6 years, 5 years? How long have we been doing this thing?
No idea, mate. No idea.
Too long. Oh, well. We both had hair when we started, didn't we?
Mate, I could walk with me. No.
We've
been doing it a while. We've
been doing it a while. So thank you ever so much for continuing to support us. And we'll see you on Twitter. Yeah, find Pete at Wheelie Dealer. If you haven't followed him yet, you must do. You should do. And if you haven't followed me yet, for whatever reason, I fully understand, so don't bother. So that's it.
Thank you, everybody. Watch out for hippos. They're nasty.
Oh, yeah. Watch out for the hippos. All right. Take care, folks. God bless. Bye for now. Bye-bye.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit shareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.